Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself
when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor
experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Raymarine Electronics.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Rob Ensley to my left, Joey Pyburn to my right, Matt Nelson running the board. I'm Tom Nelson. So, wiser people than me have said there's no zealot like a convert. And for us that kind of grew up in the outdoors, we've not had the experience really of our next guest who really kind of had the door to the outdoors kicked open, and well, it kicked right back. Welcome to the show, Jess Caldwell of WildKindAcademy.com. Good morning, Jess.
Morning, Jess.
Good morning, you guys. Great to be talking with you.
Likewise. I'm signing Nelly up for the intro to fish tanning class right now. I'm on your website at Wild Kind Academy, and I'm signing him up here, putting the Outdoor Line credit card number in. You got one slot left, so it looks like you'll be seeing him January 27th.
Perfect. I'll bring my humpy skins.
Fantastic. And there's definitely more than one spot left. If it says that, that's not true. I'm going to go fix that.
No, it doesn't.
We've got 20 spots available, and that is going to be the coolest class for you to check out.
Nelly takes up 10 spots.
So, yeah, that's right. He'll fill the whole class for you. So, hey, you know, every time we talk, you are so fired up about all the stuff that we do outdoors. And like Nelly said, we kind of been doing it since we were kids, and we went through that at a very young age. But you're experiencing this now, and it's really cool for us to see you converted over to the dark side with us here, whether it be picking mushrooms or oysters, or you've been out shooting geese and ducks and all that stuff. Tell us about what you've gone through the last couple of years and this new discovery of yours in the outdoors.
Well, it's really actually only been about a year and a half.
Okay.
And I was invited out on a ice fishing trip, and it really just changed me. I love being out there. It was so cold. It was so miserable. But pulling up a fish out of the water, out of the hard water, and taking it home, making fish tacos, was probably one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. So, I became a convert, and now I go fishing and try to bring food home whenever I can from the wild.
And how big of a part of it, the bringing the food home thing, that's one of those things where I think that's what flips the switch, kind of. You go out and you do this hard thing, and sometimes it's miserable, it's tough, sometimes it's amazing and it's fun. But then you get to bring food home. It's like you get this little gift that you get to then share and enjoy throughout the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if this is a product of being a parent or whatnot, but I feel like my time is, really sacred, and I'm always busy. And so if I'm going to do something, I feel like it needs to have that effort really needs to have this value to my life. And when I discovered that I could go out and I could bring food home, whether it was fishing, as we might discuss, I've later been hunting. You mentioned I went out duck hunting, but to bring home food at the end of the day has created a new value system for me and a new confidence as just being a human, being a mom, my kids are in awe right now because mama's bringing home the bacon.
well, now wait a minute, Jess.
I'm walking in with that.
Now wait a minute. I hate to break this to you, but you don't always bring home the bacon.
Well, it's true. It's true, and I've had lots of time in the field where that is not the case. But they are. They did not grow up with me being. This is not. Like you would mention, this is not part of a lifestyle I started with. Mm-hmm. This is new in the last year and a half, but if I could just time lapse and have video of me coming home with, with my eyes wide, walking in the door going, look, and have them see me doing the processing of this meat. I've brought home goose and duck and bullfrog. That was That was a fun one. And if they did try frog legs with me.
Did they think they tasted like chicken? What did they think the frog legs tasted like? Did they like them?
It wasn't our favorite. I tried it with some flour, and I was thinking it looked like chicken, and I am still not used to wild game or wild foods, and it looked like chicken, so we were really excited to dive in, and it was just a bit jarring.
A little frog. Okay. Was it a little froggy?
Yeah.
It has like a reptilian.
We ate those a lot when we were kids. You know, like, we were so young.
First
we were...
time I've heard the term reptile and aftertaste in the same sentence. So Jessica Caldwell's joining us this morning. Her Instagram handle is Jess_wildkindacademy. Now, you term yourself a rewilder. We need to agree on a definition for that, because I think it's profound what you've done, what you've found, and what you're offering to people, Jess. So give us a definition of your personal definition of rewilding.
Well, I was trying to figure out what it is I was doing. I was trying to create some kind of definition around it. And when I looked up just what rewilding was on an internet search, you know, there's this idea that this is about conservation and letting nature take care of itself and let a natural process take over to help repair the ecosystem. And I come from a background of a holistic practitioner. I've been a yoga instructor for 20 years and had taught mindfulness and courses to kids here in our area in the Olympia, Washington area. I view myself as an ecosystem, as this holistic, I'm a holistic being of mind, body, spirit. And I just, I had a rough year with, when the pandemic started, it brought up a lot for what am I here? What am I doing? How am I, where do I need to go to thrive? And rewilding became an interesting term, because what I was doing by going out and really partnering with nature and learning the rhythms and the cycles of what's out there and what's available to us, that is changing my personal ecosystem. That's changing how I'm feeling and how I'm thriving. And I felt like rewilding was just a great term to express that, because it's a bigger picture. It's not just going out and fishing. It's been a full spectrum experience that I've been blogging about, and I've been documenting through my rewilding. I actually call it my field notes blog, which I started on Instagram. I started on January 1st, and one thing a week, I wanted to rewild my life. Because I'm new to this, I realized I had to just take on one thing at a time. It's a overwhelming world to land in, to learn hunting and fishing and foraging. But if I took on one thing and I wrote about it and I took pictures and I shared it with my community, I felt like everyone might be able to pick up something and realize that it's just these micro adjustments to our life that really can change this personal ecosystem that we have.
And when we spoke during this week, you pointed out the fact that a lot of people have become domesticated and don't really even realize it, right? The real world exists outside walls and away from screens and outside of cities. And there's some folks that stay in cities and have the world presented to them through screens of different types. That's not the real world. That's not even close to it. And so what you've done is found a way through returning to the natural world that has reduced stress on your life and increased your happiness and just, you know, basic well-being. And the wonderful thing I'm seeing is through your website now, you're providing courses to people and providing a gateway that they can share the same experience, Jess.
Yeah, absolutely. Because this was all about doing this with others and doing this in community. Because, I mean, if I'm doing this thing and I'm learning all these skills and these direct living skills, and it's great. But the more I can do that with other people and we're building community around this, I feel like we've become stronger as a community. And it's great to know that your friends and neighbors and people around you are learning these skills as well, because it's, again, when we talk about an ecosystem, it's not just about the individual, but it's about the health of all. And so I think these are great skills for all of us to start diving into. And I think even, you know, with your listeners and I'm a fan of you guys. I love what you guys are, just good energy in the morning. And obviously promoting the outdoors. But what I think I think most of your listeners would understand, hey, I get the outdoors. This is what we do. We go fishing. We put in the time with hunting. But if you have already that, if some things dialed in the rewilding journey, it's like, well, take on something new. Try some foraging. If you're a hunter, start learning about what plants are growing in the backcountry that you're entering, and start incorporating those into your diet and finding ways to learn the rhythms of what nature's offering full season, because we've been doing this thing as humans for a long time, got us where we are today. But as you mentioned, if we become myopic and just kind of see what's in front of us, and we do our normal routine of, well, we go fishing on the weekends. Well, it's like, what are some things you could do to extend that into a greater rewilding of self and community? And yes, I'm offering courses in this as well.
Yeah, so let's talk about your courses. Your website is fantastic, by the way. It's amazing. It's laid out really well. And I'm looking at some of your courses right now. Talk about some of the opportunities people have coming up here to jump on one of your courses and see what you got going on.
Yeah, so if you go to wildkindacademy.com and then head to the rewilding events, I've got on the website right now just some offerings for January. Tomorrow, I have an instructor coming teaching a birch basket course. We're going to actually be doing a traditional skill, and she'll be teaching about the gifts of birch, and we'll be making this wonderful, beautiful hands-on skill. Intro to fish tanning, as you guys mentioned. Wait, did you get Tom enrolled?
Yeah, we got him. He took all 20 spots, so... Yeah, it's full now.
Great. Okay, that's why it's full. No. But we'll have more. Intro to fish tanning, a beautiful instructor, Jannie Chang, and that will be on live online with her. And she'll take you through this process of turning fish skin into leather. And talk about the ultimate rewilding. You might be, if you're an angler and you fish, this is a way you can use the whole fish and do something wonderful and creative at home to learn a traditional skill. You're scraping off the fish skin, you're tanning it with all things you can find at home, and then a couple days later, you're turning this into leather. And I've used my fish leather with many projects. It's a great homeschooling thing to do with the family. But we'll offer that periodically. We do a forager series next month in February. We'll be out on the trail learning about the gifts of the winter forest, foraging for cottonwood buds to make a healing salve. We've got a shellfish forage and feast.
I'm looking at the shellfish one right now. That looks pretty cool. Oh, a lot of folks probably interested in that one. That's in April, too. A little better weather there to get out on the beach. And that's with Bruce McGlenn from Human Nature Hunting. We've had Bruce on the show before. Super cool guy. And that's something everybody can do. Everybody can get out on the beach and shuck oysters and dig clams and all that stuff. That's definitely a cool sounding program.
And the kids love it. It's a great thing to get the kids out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then turn that full circle into a meal. And that's, I think, I think it was Joey who I heard brought that up too, but the power of going out and foraging for something and then bringing it and turning that into a meal makes the kids and makes everyone go, okay, this is worth that value of our time.
And it makes it that much more interesting too. We got to let you go here in a minute, Jess. What do you got going on this weekend? If I know you, the truck's probably already running out in the driveway right now. Where are you headed to right after the show?
Oh my gosh, I'm actually going to go harvest some dock seed. I want to make a dock seed, a flour, which is in the buckwheat family. And I like to make dock seed crackers. And so I think I'm going to do that today. I was supposed to be foraging today, but we got blown out with the flooding. So dock seed, you can just find anywhere. I'm probably going to make a dock seed flour today.
She's Jess Caldwell. Check out the website, wildkindacademy.com. Jess, thanks for your time this morning. Good luck and keep in touch.
Thanks, Jess.
Thanks, you guys.
We'll be talking.
I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great weekend. We'll be talking soon. Thank you.
I see a new set of salmon skin bibs in my future.
I see some dogfish skin bibs coming your way.
Dude. Yeah.
I mean, Nelly's got a freezer full of them.
Dude.
Why do you keep those things?
I got to break it to my black lab, Jessie, that she's not eating salmon skins anymore. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it to Bailey. I just don't know if I can do it to her. Yeah. All right. Coming up next, a critically acclaimed award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line 710 ESPN Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report is brought to you by Half Lion Brewing Company. Experience the rugged luxury of real beer at halflion.com.
Nick Kester from All-Star Charters was out with fellow All-Star captain Dennis McCoon on the 42-foot Showgirl last Saturday for the Blackmouth Opener in Marine Area 10. They trolled up a six-man limited blackmouth in a little over 2 hours running 4-inch skinny G spoons and 3.5 Kingfisher lights. Kester said they made one long pass from Jefferson Head to Kingston and caught their sixth legal blackmouth. Blackmouth ranged from 24 to 27 inches, and they kicked back a couple of smaller fish. Marine Area 10 is open for winter blackmouth Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays with a daily limit of one hatchery blackmouth.
First razor clam digs of the year. The next round of razor clam starts on the Washington coast next Friday, January 14th. Seven total days of digging will occur at Long Beach from January 14th through the 20th, 4 days of digging at Twin Harbors on the 15th through the 18th, and three more days of digging at Copalis Beach on January 15th, 17th, and 19th. The razor clam limit dropped back to the usual 15 clams a day just before the new year. Low tide is at 4:43 p.m. on January 14th, that first day of this dig. As always, check the WDFW website to see which beaches are open for this series of digs.
Forks area guide Mike Zavadloff from Mike Zeed's Guide Service says there's still a few hatchery steelhead in the Bogoshiel and the Kalawah Rivers, and the wild steelhead are already starting to trickle in. January can be a great month for wild steelhead on the Forks area rivers, and Mike has high hopes for a good return this winter. Despite the bank fishing only rules that were in place last winter, they put together a great season on the local rivers and caught steelhead on pretty much every trip. Mike is hoping for the same in the months ahead.
Waterfowl guide Shelby Ross of the Duck Taxi over on Potholes Reservoir said they had over a foot of snow on Thursday, followed by 40-degree temps and rain yesterday. Ross said it amounted to a big soupy mess yesterday afternoon. Temperatures are expected to drop back well below freezing again over the weekend, which could turn the area into a complete skating rink. Shelby said there's an absolute ton of geese in the area, though, and hiding from them is fairly easy with the snow on the ground. The deep freeze has frozen Moses Lake and Potholes Reservoir nearly solid, and the only duck hunting opportunities right now seem to be on spring-fed creeks or cornfields. Shelby said if you can get folks in that don't have to cross the pass, the goose hunting will be excellent. There's no shortage of big northern honkers in the area.
Submit winter crab catch reports and save $10. Sport crabbers have until February 1st to report the results from winter crab season that just wrapped up in Puget Sound. Even if you didn't harvest any crab, you still need to fill out that crab report. Since 2007, Puget Sound Recreational Crab Fishery has relied on Dungeness crab record reporting to help determine the number of crab caught and retained. That estimate helps determine the catch quotas of seasons for the various marine areas of Puget Sound. Failure to submit a winter crab report results in a $10 fine added to your next license purchase. Catch record cards can either be mailed or submitted online at fishhunt.dfw.wa.gov.
Hunters who submit their 2021 black bear, deer, elk, or turkey hunting results by this coming Monday, January 10th, have the opportunity to win one of nine deer and elk special permits for the fall of 2022. The incentive permits include five deer permits and four elk permits in various parts of the state. Regardless of harvesting an animal or not, hunters need to have the report submitted for each transport tag by January 31st. Failure to submit the report results in a $10 fee paid when the 2022 license is purchased.
The Utah Wildlife Board that oversees fish and wildlife affairs in the state of Utah just voted to ban the use of trail cameras from July 31st through December 31st, the months that coincide with hunting season. Private landowners can still use trail cams to monitor their property, but they can't use them to aid in hunting. Thermal imaging cameras were also banned for scouting, hunting, and recovering game animals in Utah. Utah's the third state in the West behind Arizona and Nevada to ban the use of trail cameras during hunting season.
WDFW enforcement asking for tips in elk poaching case. WDFW enforcement asked for help to solve a poaching case involving three elk in the Fairfield area of Spokane County. Two bulls were illegally killed, and these feckless poachers removed only their heads, allowing the meat to be wasted. This disgusting act occurred around the weekend of December 31st on private ground just outside of Fairfield. A third elk was shot, left paralyzed. WDFW says it's an appalling act and displays a blatant disrespect for all wildlife. WDFW is asking anyone for information to call 877-933-9847 or email the department's poaching tip email found on the WDFW website. A monetary award or bonus points towards a special hunt are available for tips leading to an arrest.
The Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by Half Lion Brewing Company. Experience the rugged luxury of real beer at halflion.com.
Dude, come on. These are not hunters. These are not
sportsmen. No, they're not.
These are criminals.
Yeah.
And remember this, hunters out there. If you turn these guys in, they get caught.
Bonus points.
And you are the result. Mm-hmm. You get bonus points, and you're going to get 10 bonus points for an elk. That goes a long way towards a really special hunt.
I can tell you that.
Let's catch these guys. Come on.
Let's get them. Let's get them. All right. Trail cams.
Yeah, it's a hot topic. For sure. And I know folks are kicking it around here in Washington. It's definitely on the radar screen here in Washington. Yeah, I'm not really opposed to it for whitetails. I don't know. I've never used trail cams, so I'm not, you know, I have really no say in the matter, but I don't know. I know that some of the outfitters, you know, there's some big names down in, you know, that Nevada, Utah area, kind of down that direction, Wyoming, that'll put out is, I mean, if there's a big buck in the area, they'll have 100 game cams out there, you know, tracking that buck, and then they'll, you know, somebody will pay 30 grand, 20 grand, whatever it is, to fly in and take that buck out, and it gives us no opportunity.
Like anything else, there's a use for it, but then there's an abuse for it as well.
Exactly. And now the technology, right? Like, I have one on my phone.
I
just got a picture of a coyote,
right?
It's an email cam. It sends it right to my phone. So, yeah, that's the abuse right there is these guides, these big outfits, we know their names. And like you said, Rob, they basically take that opportunity away from the general public because they keep such close tabs on that trophy animal. And then it's a phone call to some guy who paid 30, 40 grand. They fly in a chopper. They shoot it. They're out of there.
I got corked on a tag last year in Nevada.
Yeah.
They had 81 game cams out, and I lost that tag. There was one tag in there, and that was it, and they got it. So, yeah, anyway, I don't really have a dog in the fight, but I know this is we're going to see this more and more coming up here in the West especially. So.
Lampers and I used to use them one of our mule deer areas, but we would hike 8 miles with three cameras and batteries.
That place you hunted.
And then you got to hike back in there to check them. So, that's still – you're working your butt off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I kind of understand where they're going with that.
Yeah.
So – to describe this next segment as harrowing is probably doesn't do it justice.
Yeah.
Here's a guy that was elk hunting, archery elk, right? And had his hunt, shall we say, interrupted?
Yeah, a little nightmare. A little nightmare scenario there.
By Grizzlicus horribilis. Yeah.
it's all of our greatest fear. Let's go to Tyler Will Sheets back in Montana. Great guy. He was just featured on the Mountain Tough Fitness podcast. And by the way, that Mountain Tough Fitness program, jump on there if you're looking to get in shape.
It will
get
you
in shape. They got a killer program. But, Tyler's an amazing guy. He's going to jump on right after the break and tell us about his nightmare experience in Montana this last fall, archery hunting elk.
Yeah, this is a good one. Stay tuned. Tyler Will Sheets, grizzly attack survivor, joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Wellcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse here on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. It's not an overstatement to say that this is every outdoorsman's nightmare, because I can't personally think of anything that strikes fear in the heart of virtually every man than a grizzly bear that is bearing down on you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, Tyler, are you with us there this morning? Tyler Will Sheets?
I'm here.
Yeah. Morning, Tyler.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for joining us, buddy. You had a very close call in September. Why don't you run our listeners through the whole program here? I mean, you were archery hunting elk back in Montana, and the unthinkable happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if it can live up to the thrill of backing down a Duckworth down an ice creek.
It's definitely the equivalent of being attacked by a grizzly bear. But
I was on the edge of my seat listening to that. So. So I started during archery season, and I was on at least one, maybe a couple bulls in this area. So I've been hunting it pretty hard, and like a lot of bulls, they bugle early and then they stop. So I thought, well, I'll start early this morning and I'll get up and work my way up the mountain in the dark. And, you know, every 10 or 15 minutes on the way up, I would call and then just kind of be quiet, see if I could hear anything or locate a bull. And I was working up to the specific spot that I had marked in my Onyx maps, which was a flat where I had good lanes to shoot, because where I hunt is so thick that, I mean, a lot of times you can't even walk through the brush because it's so thick there. So I'm making my way up and calling and waiting and calling and waiting. And just before sunrise, I get to the spot where I want to be, and I lean up against this tree and I think, okay, I'll call and then wait. So I did. About 10 minutes goes by, and I call again, and I hear some rustling in the brush right in front of me. And I thought, oh, perfect.
Yeah.
So I pull my arrow, start to knock this arrow, and I'm leaned against this tree on my left shoulder, mm-hmm. and I peek around this tree, and I see a dang grizzly bear mm-hmm. 15 yards right in front of me, about 15 yards to the left of me. So I'm thinking, oh, gosh. You know, what are you supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
He's on top of me. I'm expecting to see bull elk, and I see grizzly bear. So I do the ultra heroic thing, and I take a step back and trip and fall flat on my back.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yep. When I first got there, I knew, you know, I'm thinking to myself, hey, don't step backwards because there's this laydown right behind me. And mm-hmm. well, in the heat of the moment, when a bear comes out, you're like, you just don't think logically, you know?
So when you took this step back, was the bear already coming? Was it already charging at that point?
He was, and it wasn't like a sprint, but it definitely wasn't a walk either.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
he had his teeth showing, and mm-hmm. It was like a growl that he was doing, not like a you know, not like the cartoons mm-hmm. where these bears come out and they're like, rawr. It wasn't like that at all.
But it was definitely breakfast time. You were on the menu,
right.
So he's coming at you. You're on the ground. Did you just throw your bow and reach for the pistol, or what happened then, man?
Well, so as I was falling down, mm-hmm. I'm thinking in my mind, like, okay, I got to get rid of this bow, and it dropped anyway. And mm-hmm. I also had a diaphragm call that I was using, but I used a handheld call too because I like to differentiate between two mm-hmm. calls. It makes me think, you know, maybe they'll think there's a couple cows in the area. Mm-hmm. So I dropped that call also, and as I'm standing back up, I go for my XDM 10 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pull it out, and obviously when I come up, I've got both arms out in front of me ready. I'm ready because I know this thing's coming. So by the time I stand back up, the bear now is at 15 feet. I mean, he is right in my face. And so I start to yell as loud as I can, no, no, bear, bear, because I'm thinking, you know, this thing thinks I'm a cow elk, and mm-hmm. it's ready to eat. But as soon as it recognizes I'm a human, this thing's going to peel off, and I can go back to hunting.
And you're yelling, and he's thinking back straps and tenderloins at that point. And he just keeps coming, right?
Yeah, that's it. He comes, he keeps coming, and then finally I get to the point where I'm like, okay, it's now or never.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people I talk to are like, well, 15 feet is now or never.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I said 15 yards is now or never.
Oh,
right, that's true.
20-foot rule? Isn't that
Jeez.
Right, yeah. Well, it got... you know, as close as I felt like, okay, I've got no option here. Mm-hmm. And so I shot, and the good thing about the XDM, and this is why I'm mm-hmm. pro semi-automatic versus a revolver, is that I've got 15 rounds mm-hmm. of 220 grain buffalo bore.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes at me and boom, 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 I shoot three or four times, and I hit him because he spun in a 360 and moved off to my right about 5 yards,
mm-hmm.
And then charges back at me again.
Wow.
Yeah. So I shoot another three or four times that time. And that time I knew I hit him really well because that time he rolled on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so he rolled down to my right, down the hill a little bit. And I'm thinking, okay, whew, that was wild. And then he starts coming back up at me again.
Wow.
So for the third time, and at this point I knew I hit him. I must've spined him because his back legs were not working at all.
But he's still coming.
But he's just in full on Terminator mode now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got as much adrenaline as I had.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. he's coming back up the hill, and I shoot another three, four rounds. And I knew I got him really, really good that time because he dropped and he kind of slid down the hill and then rolled. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I mean, I don't know how many times I've hit him to this point, but this thing is just taking ammo like it's his job.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm getting the heck out of here. So I had moved probably 10 feet down the hill from where I originally started. So I ran back up to my bow, grabbed it, ejected the magazine. And so, I'm thinking, man, I could be out of, I don't know how many times I shot, you know, I could be out of ammo here. And ejected the magazine, saw I had at least two rounds in there. I thought, okay, well, I'm safe enough on the way down. So I ran out and around the opposite direction from the bear and called a buddy and told him, hey, this is what happened. And he's like, dude, no way. He's like, well, was it a black bear or a grizzly? I said, well, characteristics would say it's a grizzly. but it was just at sunrise. So, I mean, I guess it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah.
And he said, well, just stay put and let's go up there and check it out.
What part of the state were you in, Tyler? Where were you at?
Northwest Montana.
Yeah. Now, isn't that the largest concentration of bears in Montana is up in that northwest corner?
Man, I can't say 100%, but I would say pretty positively, I would say yes. I mean, they're everywhere.
So now after the third volley, what was your state of mind? I mean, were you shaken? Were you trembling? What was going on?
Did you happen to get a heart rate?
What's going on, man?
Well, the truth is, the first phone call I made, the guy who ultimately answered and said, stay put, let's go back up there, he didn't answer. So I called the other guy who I accessed the public through his private land. And I called him, and I forgot about this till hours later. I left him a voicemail because he didn't answer. And it is sheer panic.
We're going to need that.
Yeah,
we're going
to need that. You just go ahead and forward that to us.
That's going to be your new ringtone.
That was a bear. I wouldn't share that with somebody. Yeah.
So now,
definitely not my wife. She'd think much lesser of me.
So Springfield XDM 10 millimeter. That's the pistol I pack. With those 220 grain buffalo bore, they're specially designed for grizzly bears. You know, a lot of these guys are packing 9 mils and stuff, and they literally will bounce off the skull of a grizzly bear.
Well, look, he shot that thing maybe 5-10 times.
Just so scary. Now,
what's different about a buffalo bore bullet?
They're made to not come apart.
Oh, gotcha.
And they're extremely heavy. Okay, they're a bonded bullet. Now, talk about bear spray. Did you have bear spray too?
Yeah, so that's a good point. I do want to say there's a ton that we could talk about on this thing, but ultimately I got the game wardens involved and they came up, and his recommendation I think was fantastic. He told me that he's an avid bow hunter. He hunts the same areas I do. He carries a pistol on one side and bear spray on the other. And the reason being is at a distance, whatever this distance is, maybe bear spray would probably be your potential best bet. I mean, you're not going to start shooting a pistol at 40 or 50 yards, right? Mm-hmm. Well, some guys do, but you shouldn't. Or the other thing is, maybe when I tripped and fell in a panic scenario or situation, it could be that, I'm wearing a pack that goes over my holster. Maybe I couldn't get to the pistol, but I could get to the bear spray. It's kind of like
gives you an option,
a backup scenario in that situation. Exactly.
And it's easier to broadcast that spray, and they're going to get a whiff of it and probably take off. But regardless, you got an undergarment sponsor you picked up from this or anything, or what? anything come from this? Because this
I
is just like
needed another pair.
Worst nightmare kind of a deal here.
So Tyler, and we're talking with Tyler Wilsheets, who's actually the executive pastor at venerationchurch.com in Kalispell, and when Montana Fish and Wildlife came up there, they kind of do a forensic examination. What was their final? How close did this bear end up actually coming from you? What was their response at the end of their forensic investigation of this event, Tyler?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the warden did a great job. He's pulling tape on everything. He's wanting to do his personal investigation because at the bottom of the mountain, I told him this is what happened. Well, he wanted to see himself. What does the evidence say? They're looking for a cache. Did this bear have a kill and it buried it and it's protecting that area? Or is this just a random, hey, I hear a elk call, or I know there's a human and I'm going to go get him. And so they didn't find any of that. At the end of the day, the dirt, you could see claw marks and blood, and there, the brass is just sprinkled all over the side of this hill. And he pulled tape from my boot prints in the dirt to first blood was 4 foot. Yeah. So it was, you were right about the underwear. That's definitely. I asked him, I said, hey, do you need these as additional evidence? He got a really, really, really good kick out of it.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That's a whole biological spectrum you got going on there, buddy. There's
so
you got
hunts planned for next fall? Are you bailing on the hunting thing altogether now? You're going to be back out in the woods, buddy. What's the plan?
Oh, he's going to be back in the woods.
A couple days later, I was back out there. Yeah, but let me say this. I do want to say this. I was the three previous times I went up there, the two previous times, I, like every other guy probably all the time, justifies, I've got this pistol in my backpack. Yeah. There's no way I don't have enough time to drop the pack, open it up, grab the pistol, and go. And because you're thinking, well, these bears are more scared of me than I am of them, and they're not going to try to come at me. Man, guys, anybody listening who's been carrying your pistol on your pack, don't do it. I mean, I was that guy.
You didn't.
And as a matter of fact, sorry.
You didn't go out to kill a bear that day. You had to shoot and stop the threat. And that's the only reason you came back to your wonderful, beautiful family that evening.
You're exactly right. And, you know, the third previous time I got halfway up the mountain and I realized, shoot, I forgot my pistol in my truck. And so I didn't even have it with me. And, you know, the truth is, my honest explanation is I believe that God was there with me, because I not only did I had I been carrying it in my pack or forgotten it, I put it on my hip that day and I never, ever, ever chamber around. The reason is I have kids at home, so I keep the magazine separate from the pistol.
Sure.
And so when I get in the field, I just jam the magazine in it and I go, okay, there's no way I won't have time to at least rack the slide. Now we're talking about not forget pulling out the backpack. We're talking about just rack the slide.
Right.
And I'd be hard to convince myself that I would have had enough time in sheer chaos to even rack the slide. But that day, when I got out of the truck, I started to walk with it in my pack, and I thought, I need to put this on today. I'm going up in the dark. Let's just be safe. Man, I'm going to go ahead and chamber one, too.
There you go.
And I just honestly believe that God had something different
for
me. Yeah,
brother, absolutely right.
No doubt.
Be my laugh.
I mean, it's the archery hunters that seem to have the most problems, because you're calling, you know, you're like almost calling the bears in. You're in thick cover, and then they say you got 2 seconds, maybe 3 seconds, and that's it. So you're not gonna be able to slide that, you know, move that slide
back
and chamber around.
You're probably not gonna remember.
No way.
You know, you're gonna be in a panic situation, and you're not going to remember to rack
that
slide.
Throw the pistol at that sucker and hope it bounces off.
Yeah,
and sends
like
him
the guys with six rounds of a revolver. You know, after six rounds, what do?
I know.
You're gonna you have a broadhead, or you have the back end of a pistol that you can try to whack this bear in the face with. Give me 15 rounds every day, buddy.
Yep. And anytime Pastor Tyler needs to wake up the congregation, he's going to pull out the bear story. He's going to have everybody at his. Tyler, thank you very much for your time, buddy. God bless you. What a great story. And keep in touch, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
Thanks,
the
Tyler.
Time, man.
You
have a great weekend.
All righty.
All right.
You too.
Coming up next, the hottest report heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed. It's Roy Robinson RVs. Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way. Really? Where?
Just coming back. The island is tinning the lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
Ocean journey red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonRV.com's
Really? Where?
RoyRobinsonRV.com will take you anywhere. Really?
Your trip starts this year with the number one Winnebago dealer in the Northwest, Roy Robinson RV. You're going to find a complete selection of Class A's, Class B's, Super C's, travel trailers, fifth wheelers, tow haulers, pop-ups, campers, and so much more. Roy Robinson RV Center, RoyRobinsonRV.com.
Tyler Wilshitz just scared the bejeebers out of everyone here.
Yeah.
On the west side where we're trapped right now. We also had Jess Caldwell on from Wildcat Academy here earlier in the hour. She's out harvesting duck seed. Today, and we were like, what the heck is a duck seed? We're just looking it up. Here's some duck seed. There's a duck seed brownie recipe.
Ooh,
here.
Okay, I'm in.
And we're going to have you smoke some duck seed later,
okay,
too, and see what happens.
I'm in.
Yeah. I mean,
try,
who
dude.
Knows?
Well, I've already been drying my eel grass to weave my basket. So, yeah, we'll go for all that. Absolutely, I'm in. I'm going to
end up some dogfish skin.
Look at me. Do I need to be rewilded?
Huh?
Do I?
You need to be domesticated.
I've been me and Pyburn, we're free range, dude.
But so, definitely jump on
free
the podcast after the show and listen to that last segment with Tyler Wilshitz, an absolute close encounter with a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
And I don't care how big the grizzly bear is.
No.
It's going to rip your face off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because your food,
and that,
you're on the menu.
That wasn't a giant grizzly bear, but it was still 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And if you have ever walked up to a bear and seen a 300-pound bear,
yeah,
that is a big animal.
Well, you look at Nelly. I mean, he'd tear your face off. He didn't even have claws.
No.
They'd be lucky if
he's a big old fella.
Be lucky if they found the zipper off your pants once you're done with that shit, man. I mean, they're
so
eating
scary
machines. They're crazy.
Yeah.
And they're faster than you are, and they're bigger than you are, and they're scary.
And, you know, more and more, it's like they have no fear of humans over there in Montana and Wyoming. When guys think, oh, they're going to see that I'm a human and turn and go the other way.
No.
They just see you as food.
Well,
man.
You're
just
meat
a critter.
Eaters. So they did a study in Glacier Park a few years ago, and they actually tracked a bunch of they collared a bunch of bears, and then they tracked them. Mm-hmm. Right. So they would linger around the parking lots where all the hunters would kind of congregate, and literally they would follow the hunters up the hill and kind of they would just kind of stay around, you know, like, OK, maybe there'd be an opportunity here. And they found that most of them were tracking hunters going in. A big majority of them were doing that. And that's what happened here in this case.
Dude,
that's exactly what happened.
We need grizzly bears here in downtown Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd do it.
That's why you need to smoke duck seed. And we just need to mellow you out a little bit.
All right. Bring grizzlies into Seattle. It's a new initiative. Absolutely.
Yeah. So great podcast. Jump on that after the show and check it out. I guarantee you'll be thinking twice next time you head into the woods, especially in Montana. We hunted over there this fall, and I'm telling you, I was constantly like, okay, bear spray's right here. Pistol's right here. We're hiking up the trail, and we're in the dark in the morning, and I'm constantly checking the pistol and the bear spray. Of course,
it made it
everybody
not
else,
fun
everybody else me. But me had their pistol on their backpack.
For more on this, log on to Mountain Tough Fitness, and they have a YouTube channel. And there's
we're gonna go to the range.
Yep.
And then I got an invite from our buddy Ray Gombisky.
There you go.
He had an open spot in the blind. I might as well go fill it.
We are blackmouth fishing in the morning, and then if the passes open up, we are going to go to Rufus Woods and Roosevelt Lake with Austin on Monday morning. So if you don't hear from us next weekend, it's because we didn't make it like over the pass or back over the pass. One of the two, no question about it. You missed any of the show, jump on MineNorthWest.com, get the podcast on TheOutdoorLine.com, download that Apple Podcast app, and you can get full shows right there. Give us a follow on social media, at Rob Ensley, at Joey Pyburn on Instagram, at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. For Matt Nelson behind the glass, Joey Pyburn, that's Rob Ensley. I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.